Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Back again for another edition of the Financial Flight Plan podcast. Walter Storholt here with you alongside Bree Reyes, investor coach and certified financial planner at Estes Financial Services. They've got an office in Fort Worth, serve you throughout the Metroplex. You can find us online at estesfinancial.net and on social media, of course, all the big ones, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, you know the deal. Thanks so much for being with us this week. And Bree, thank you for joining us once again. What's going on in your world?
Well, my family all just got allergy tested.
Allergy tested. Is this the thing where you go in, they give you some injections or put some stuff on you, and then they tell you all the allergies that you have? Is that the synopsis?
We started with Nate because he was showing he had some really bad itchiness.
Okay.
And my husband, I thought, was allergic to a ton of different things, up to and including the dog. So we went with Nate first, and it turns out my child just has eczema, no allergies.
Oh, welcome to the club. I dealt with that for many years. I had really bad eczema through middle school and high school. Very, very rough period of it. Much better now, but I know the pain, man. Oof, it's not fun stuff.
It is not fun stuff. And trying to put lotion and creams and stuff on a two-year-old is like trying to do it to an alligator.
Yeah,
I think an alligator might be better.
Right. Don't put that in your mouth. Stop it. Alligators' arms are too short to put things in their mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. But
I did the whole routine with sleeping with gloves on at night, you know, put the lotion on your hands and then wear gloves and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
With him, it's more in the creases of his like arms. So
that's no fun.
His elbow or like the crease behind his knee, and he'll itch it.
Yep.
And then it's just bright red and splotchy and looks painful. And so we have to put on creams and lotions and potions. Oh, my. And he is not the biggest fan.
Poor little
guy.
Did you participate? Okay.
I did. I participated next, and we found out that I'm allergic to basically every tree.
Really?
And grasses and dust.
So just general like air allergy, the traditional thought of allergies being stuff in the air and that kind of thing.
Exactly. And so I'm now on allergy shots, and then my husband went this morning, and we have confirmed his allergy to dogs.
Oh, poor thing.
And cats. And every grass known to man and God, and some trees too.
So he really was allergic to pretty much everything.
Yeah, we're going to bubble my husband. He has always been really bad allergies, but it's just now funny because he always tried to argue with me about different remedies. And then he went to the allergist and came back and was like, okay, you're right. Everything you said was
correct. Oh, that's too funny.
Correct.
I cannot contribute much to this conversation. I think the only thing I'm allergic to is pineapple. And it just tickles my tongue a little bit. I don't think it actually kills me.
But I have that same problem with watermelon.
Really? Okay, interesting.
Yeah, except it makes me nauseous.
Huh. Well, that's weird.
Even like random things that are watermelon flavored that you know that there's no actual watermelon in, there's something, it just, can't do it.
Yep. Well, I have like absolutely zero cravings for pineapple, never have liked it, and I assume it's because my body just knows that it doesn't like it, and so why would you develop a liking for it? Unlike my mom, who went, you know, her whole life loving seafood, and then all of a sudden in her 20s became very, very severely allergic to shellfish. Just out of nowhere, just became really, really allergic to it. So now she can't even have like, you know, if you go and get French fries somewhere, she has to check, do you use the French fries do you cook them in the same oil that you do the, you know, clams or shellfish or whatever? And if they do, she can't, she'll get severely ill from that even. So,
oh my goodness.
It's kind of weird. Those ones that develop out of nowhere like that. My uncle developed an allergy to spaghetti sauce, to tomatoes, in his 40s, just out of nowhere. And now he's allergic to tomatoes. He can't eat pizza anymore.
Oh my gosh, my husband would, I think he would die.
I know.
If somebody came in and told him he was allergic to pizza, we would have a serious problem.
Yeah. I mean, there are worse things in the world to be exposed to, but in terms of our own little lives, this is, you know, that's a big deal when something like that pops up on you.
Yeah, so now I am the only one in the family getting shots. The other, Nate, obviously doesn't need them, and Joaquin has decided, he and the allergist have a plan for him, and so
okay.
So, but we have a family and we all go to the same guy. We've got a family allergist now.
That's pretty funny. Well, there you go. So, a positive experience. Glad you did it. Is it helping or is it still too early to tell?
Too early to tell.
Okay. All right. We'll check in a couple of podcasts and see how things are going and if you can recommend going to get that service done. It is kind of cool, at least even just to know, right?
It is. It is. I came back to the office with 80 needle pricks.
That was my next question was, so are they just like putting like swatches on your skin and seeing what happens? Or are they actually injecting you with little things all over?
Mine does it on the arms, arms. And so I wore a sleeveless top and then I came back to the office and I looked. They were there for a couple of days.
So does it like, how does it work? Is it the ones that you're allergic to? Does it like light up red? Or be like,
they become big welts.
Okay.
And so then they draw on the outside of the welt so that they can see it grow. In fact, Joaquin's today, then they check it again in 15 minutes. And my husband today, they said, oh, we should have come back in 10. You're super allergic to these things.
Interesting.
He was going, yeah. And I'm very itchy right now.
So
can
even
we take
things
this off?
That aren't skin related will still react when injected into the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Huh. How about that?
It's really cool. It's a cool process.
Yeah.
We'll see if the allergy shot works.
Yes, definitely. All right, well, we'll look forward to that report. On today's show, we've got some really fun things to talk about. We're going to talk about, you know, last week we discussed the underrated things in the financial world. Well, you knew we were going to come back around and talk about the overrated things in the financial landscape. So we'll talk about stuff that are we putting maybe too much emphasis or too much stock into some of these items. We'll dive into that in a second. We've also got a question from Roberta on today's show a little bit later on. And Roberta's wondering about company stock. In fact, she's got a lot of money in her own company's stock. Is that wise? We'll ask Bree coming up on today's show. So let's get into these overrated items. You know, last week, just in case you missed it, we talked about liquidity, predictability, and simplicity being three things that are underrated in the financial world. Well, what about three things that are overrated in the financial landscape? And I would kind of categorize these things, Bree, as, you know, stuff that just gets a lot of buzz, but maybe it's not really all it's cracked up to be, or the area of opportunity there isn't maybe quite as great as some make it out to be. It's not the greatest thing since sliced bread, like maybe the media might pretend it to be. Not all of these maybe fall under that category, but a few may. The first thing I'm thinking about here is tax advantages. Now, I know that this is a big part of what you guys do, helping people save money on taxes, but is it a little bit overrated or blown out of proportion from time to time?
It can be. It definitely can be. And not necessarily the way we do it. You know, saving money on taxes is super important. So taking advantage of opportunities to defer taxes, avoid taxes, create deductions, it's an awesome and wonderful thing. The thing is that most people don't think about is that not all ways to do that are created equal. Meaning, a lot of times, tax advantage stuff, and I've seen this a lot on the radio here in DFW, but they're pitched as, it's more of a sales pitch, and tax advantage products are basically, that's their primary advantage. They kind of come at you with, this is tax advantaged and this is great. And you're not really going to usually buy a municipal bond because of the interest being tax free if the interest is terrible. You're not going to buy a fixed indexed annuity solely for tax deferral if the expenses are high. You're not going to get a mortgage. You're not going to go out and buy a house and get a mortgage just because of a tax deduction. And so what happens is these things are sold like they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, but nobody talks about the pros and the cons of everything. And there are some cons to basically everything I just said. Municipal bond interest can be tax-free, but it can also affect the taxation of your Social Security. Fixed annuities are great for tax deferral, but they have liquidity issues. They may have high internal costs. So there's pros and cons of everything to think about. And then homeownership, you know, I'm just going to leave that there. My husband's so allergic, he's not allowed to mow the grass anymore, according to the allergist.
That bad.
So there are some pros and cons of homeownership for you.
Little did he know what he was getting into, huh?
Yeah, so tax advantage should be an ancillary benefit, not the reason to make an investment.
It's funny to think Joaquin probably had, you know, his whole life planned out perfectly from an allergy standpoint. He was going to live in a condo surrounded by concrete, and, you know, he was going to marry somebody that had, you know, no animals whatsoever. And all of a sudden you come into his life and you guys get a house with a big yard. He's got to cut the grass and that gets in his nose. And now you have, you guys are a huge dog family. So, well, he's in the wrong family at this point. I'm sorry to say, Bree.
Well, the house and the yard and the dog were there before him. So, you know.
So he was fully warned. He knew what he was getting into.
He knew what he was getting into.
Oh, that's too funny. All right, so there you go. Tax advantages. I think you put it really well. It's important to take advantage of, but it's not going to make or break, like, oh, you'll never be successful in retirement if you don't take this tax advantage, or, you know, you're going to unlock the secrets of the world with this tax advantage. It's going to give you an edge in many ways by making the right choices. So it's still important to do, but it's not priority number one above all else. It's just it may be the opportunity number one for many people, but not necessarily priority number one.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So tax advantage, a little overrated. And it doesn't mean that these things aren't important. Keep that in mind. We're just talking about overrated. Rates of return has also made it to our list. Well, isn't it all about making more money, Bree? Why would getting a good rate of return be something that has too much emphasis placed on it?
I mean, yeah, rates of return are important. Nobody's denying the power of compound interest over time. But if that's all you're focused on, if all you're focused on is your rate of return, it can be incredibly dangerous to your portfolio. At some point in your life, it's going to be important to reduce volatility or risk. You want to reduce the risk in your portfolio and how much it bounces up and down and avoid losses. So if you get focused just on how much return you're getting, usually those high returns come with quite a bit of risk or quite a bit of loss. Markets can swing either direction. So if you're only focused on returns, that can bite you in the tuchus pretty fast. And that's happened a couple of times here in the Metroplex with different investments being promised. They were radio guys, 12% return on your investment. And everybody ran for it because it was, heck, it was great return. It was 12% consistent, supposedly. And then they found out that they were Ponzi schemes and these poor people have lost their entire life's fortune. So when it comes to rates of return, I always say take everything with a giant grain of salt.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those kinds of things that, you know, where is the true difference going to lie? Is there a big difference between making 7% and 8% rate of return over your last, you know, two working years? How is that really going to impact your financial life? And sometimes people really obsess over a tiny increase like that, just like with the tax advantages thing. Still important. Just maybe a little bit too much emphasis put on it, and it causes other things to kind of get, you know, swept under the rug that are also important.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's rates of return. Third on the list is Game of Thrones, overrated. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is a financial podcast.
I've never seen it yet.
Me neither.
Don't spoil it for me. I've never watched Game of Thrones.
I can't even comment on if it's actually overrated. I've never seen it as well. I was hoping maybe you had, and I missed on the reference. I don't know. I'll have to pick something else that might be overrated in the, I don't know. What is a show that's overrated in your mind? Sidetrack here. What's a show that everybody's seen and talks about that you're just like, ugh, overrated show. It's not as good as everybody says it is.
Lost.
Yeah, I would throw, Lost was fine, but it wasn't the greatest thing ever. It's overrated. I like that. Yeah, that's a good answer. I'll agree.
Put me on the spot here.
You answered it. I think that's perfect. Lost. We'll leave it at that. Any big Lost fans out there, send us hate mail. That's all right. We'd love to read it.
Yeah, please send me hate mail. I would love it.
Yeah, especially the way Lost ended. Oh, gosh, terrible. All right, third and final thing here. Overrated things in the financial world. Commission-based investment accounts. Now, I guess we got to explain. What is a commission-based investment account first?
Ooh, okay. A commission-based investment account is when your financial advisor only makes money when you buy or sell something.
Oh, okay.
That's what a commission account is. But in the reality, at least in my opinion, is that it creates a giant conflict of interest with the investment recommendations they may be making. Because if they're only getting paid when they recommend you buy or sell something, then what is their incentive not to constantly recommend things to be bought or sold?
Well, just connect the dots there and
So we are a fee-based practice. Almost all of the recommendations we make are fee-based. If we make a commission-based recommendation, it's because there's usually not a fee-based option for it. But people who are more commission-based, you've got to wonder, What are they looking at? Whose best interest is it, you know, with their recommendation? And how much is it costing you? Because a lot of times it can be costing you more than a fee-based account actually would in the end of things. So I think commission-based accounts are overrated. And quite frankly, I think the industry is moving away from them. And I hope they are, because I've seen in a previous life, I've seen too many people that I don't know if they always had their client's best interest in heart when they made commission-based recommendations. And the fourth thing, because I always like to add an extra thing that I think is overrated in the financial world, is financial news.
There's a lot
those
of it out there.
Talking heads, I find them incredibly overrated.
Which one is the biggest offender of being an
overrated?
Oh, they're
all. I'm not going to pick a station that I hate the most. I don't like any of them. They're out to fearmonger the American people, and it's not helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it would be like, you know, Jim Cramer would be a great example of not overrated from an entertainment standpoint, but from an actionable value advice standpoint, overrated. And all of them would fall into that category. View them as entertainment, not as actual, you know, resources through which to, you know, manage your investment decisions.
Yeah, no. Overrated.
Bad idea.
We call it financial pornography. Turn it off.
That's right. Click the off button for stuff like that. All right. So there are your things that are overrated. Not only the financial news, that's your bonus. And then the three things: tax advantages, rates of return, and commission-based investment accounts. The first two, tax advantages and rates of return, still important, just overrated. Don't put too much weight and time and energy into those things and forsake some of those other things that often go underrated, like we talked about last week, when it comes to liquidity and simplicity and predictability, those kinds of things. It's always about balance, isn't it, Bree?
Oh, isn't life about balance?
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Moderate everything in moderation.
Yep. There's lots of good sayings about that for sure. Well, if you are interested in learning more about what it's like to put together a true comprehensive financial plan, something that makes sure that these things are indeed balanced, that you're not overweighted in a particular segment of the financial landscape, that you're not putting too much emphasis into rate of returns and totally ignoring, you know, some other big red flag that's inside of your portfolio. A great place to start might be the tax-free toolkit that Tim and Bree and the great team at Estes Financial Services have put together for you. Bree, tell me what's in the toolkit. Who's it a good fit for?
Oh, it's a great fit for anybody who wants to start thinking about retirement, start looking at different things to retire. You're going to get a bunch of different stuff, almost too much information, I've had people say. You get a copy of our book that we wrote with our dear friend Dan Caprile called The Financial Flight Plan, 7 Lessons to Save Your Retirement. We use a lot of aviation things around here. So that's in there. We've got a CD in there. We've got two reports. We've got These 5 Risks Could Destroy Your Retirement. And we've got our special tax special report talking about taxes in retirement. I know we said that tax avoidance is overrated, but, you know, it's one of those things you've got to pay attention to. And then we've got a copy of our investor awareness guide. Now, all these things we would normally charge $97 for. That's the value of the kit. But because you're a listener to the podcast, it's provided to you complimentary, even shipping. So there's no shipping and handling charges. Just give us a call or shoot us an email, and we'll get it out to you.
It's all you have to do. And here are the ways that you get in touch. That phone number is 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. Or you can go online to estesfinancial.net or check the description of today's episode, and you'll find the necessary links there to get your free tax-free retirement toolkit. All you have to do, again, go to estesfinancial.net or give a call to 817-444-8402.
It's getting to know you time.
Time to get to know Bree Reyes a little bit better on today's program. And here's my question for you this week, Bree. Just like Bill Murray hearing I Got You Babe on the radio every morning in the movie Groundhog Day, if you had to wake up every day to the same song every morning, same thing comes on the radio or on your little alarm clock, what song would you pick?
Ooh, this is hard for me. my two greatest loves in the world, besides my husband and my son and our family, of course, is music and movies. Like, those are my passions, especially live music. So this is super hard for me. But I'm going to have to go with Michael Franti's Life is Better with You.
How does you're going to have to sing that one for me.
I'm not singing this. Look him up, Michael. Franti, Life is Better with You. This is Joaquin's in my song. This is the song that we danced to at our wedding.
Okay, that's a good pick.
And we've seen Michael in concert a couple of times, and it's always a really good show, and it's family friendly, and a lot of his music I really, really like, but there's something about this song that just sticks into my heart, and it reminds me every day isn't Valentine's, but as long as I'm with Joaquin, I'm a happy, wonderful girl.
Well, that is pretty cool.
Life is better with my husband.
Yeah,
it just makes me happy.
Well, that's a good thing. You know, unfortunately, a lot of folks aren't able to share in that. And so it's nice that you have that strong sense of feeling about your significant other. That's fantastic. And you even picked the song that would constantly remind you of that. I used to have, and maybe other people did, I would imagine, had little, you know, alarm clocks that you could put your iPod into. And I used to love waking up to music in the morning. Especially back in college, I would set it to the wake up playlist, but it would be a different song every day. It would be on shuffle, you know, and it would just steadily play it open and kind of set the tone for the day in different ways. Sometimes you'd wake up with a very relaxed song. Sometimes you'd be, you know, jamming and get you ready to go. So it's kind of always fun to see what you'd wake up to.
Well, right now I wake up to a baby.
Yeah. You don't need an alarm clock at this point.
I really don't need an alarm clock. He is a morning person. So yes. Yeah.
I always wake up about 4 minutes before the alarm goes off. Can anybody tell me what's the science behind that? Why do you always wake up right before the alarm clock goes off?
I wake up whenever Nate wakes up, which is usually an hour or two and 30 minutes before the alarm clock goes
you're not
off.
The best
I really
person
appreciate
to ask
my
that.
Son for
you're
that.
You're not the best person to ask that question to.
Not at all.
You're not in that world right now. Too funny. All right, well, there you go. That's the song that that Bree would choose if she had to listen to one over and over every morning. What about you? Fun question to think about, certainly.
It's time for the mailbag. We want to hear from you.
So, maybe my favorite part of the show, getting to answer some of the questions that we have from listeners each week. We've got one to feature this week from Roberta. And Roberta says, Bree, I'm a big believer in my current company's future, so the majority of my 401k is invested in company stock. I understand that I'm not diversified, but isn't that okay since I don't know, kind of have, in the non-illegal way, inside information, and I know the company so well?
Oh, Roberta. I appreciate your loyalty to your employer, but no.
All right. Great podcast this week. We'll talk to you next
podcast.
Time, guys.
We're over. Plenty of Enron employees said the exact same thing to me before their company ceased operations. And think about it. They not only lost their entire 401k because it was invested in Enron stock, they also lost their job. I don't want this to happen to you. Enough of your personal wealth is tied up in your company that your 401k shouldn't be too. You can be a fabulous, loyal employee by doing an amazing job. But you do not have to sacrifice your financial future for your company.
It really is an all eggs in one basket situation.
I mean, we saw it here in Texas with Enron. I had clients in Houston. It's a disaster. I beg of you. My husband's company has company stock. Does he have some in his 401k? Yes. Is it a large part of his portfolio? No. We try to keep it maxed at maybe 10% of the overall allocation. I'd be really uncomfortable with him if we went over 10 because that's where he's employed. And if the company for some reason has a bad quarter or year or an issue, I don't want to worry about him being laid off and his 401k to go down to zero and his stock options to be worth nothing. So while I appreciate your loyalty, and believe me when I say this, I really, really do. I would prefer if you diversify out of your company's stock, at least in your long-term investments, and let that be for long-term.
Yeah, Bree, I think it's just, it's so tempting, right? I mean, I work for the company. I'm invested in this company, and the company probably loves that you are full in. You know, you're fully bought in as an employer myself. I love it when employees have that mentality of like, I am in, you know, this is, you want people to work for you that are like that. So you're the ideal employee being 100% in like that, but you've got to CYA, you know what I mean? Like,
and there's nothing wrong. It does not make you a less of an employee if you diversify your 401k.
Yep.
They're not going to dock your pay. They're not going to look down on you. You're not going to miss a promotion, but you will be protecting yourself and in turn helping the company.
Right. Exactly. Think of it like the like a basketball team. You've got the hot hand right now, but you need some other players on the team so that if you go cold or have some problems or tweak your ankle or something like that, you've got to have some other players on the team, aka other investments, to help out in case, you know, something goes wrong with the golden goose, which is really the way, that's your portfolio right now, is the golden goose, and you don't want it to necessarily, you know, be all at risk like that. It's just such a risky road to take. Don't let all your years of hard work come back to bite you. So diversification is, you know, we talked a lot about underrated and overrated the last 2 weeks. Diversification, we could probably throw into underrated, although I think it is talked about enough to where, you know, a lot of attention is certainly paid to it. But if you don't have it, then it's underrated, right?
If you don't have it, it's underrated. And it's one of those buzz terms that I don't think people actually believe, because they can own 7 different mutual funds that have 7 different names and think that they're diversified. And when you look at the overlap within their funds, they're not. I'm more interested in asset allocation diversification than just pure diversification.
Yeah,
just something to think about.
That level of going just a little bit deeper, and it is important to remember. Well, great question. Thank you very much for asking that one to us on today's podcast. And Roberta, good luck with that. And please, if you want to talk a little bit further about it, reach out. A couple of different ways, as we mentioned earlier in the show, that you can do so. 817-444-8402. Talk to Bree, Tim, and the team at Estes Financial Services about what's going on in your financial life, just like that question today, except you get the opportunity to ask lots of questions because you're meeting one-on-one, and you can pick their brain and make sure that you're getting the right financial plan in place. So reach out by calling that number, or you can go online to estesfinancial.net. We'll put a link in today's episode description where you can find all that information as well. estesfinancial.net, also on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Thanks for the help this week, Bree, and thank you to everybody for listening to this week's show. And hey, we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, we will. And everybody listening, go out and lead an abundant life.